ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. Of course, first things first, congratulations to our boy, our one and only DFS Spectre, also known as Ryan. Flirting with a takedown of the, I think it was the 999 multi-entry last night on FanDuel. Of course, he gets overtaken by Chipotle, naturally, at the end. Has to settle for a 8th place worth $8K. A huge payday for a wonderful guy. Very, very happy for him and the whole Lineup Logic squad, man. I mean, Jim had a nice one, too. Big. I mean, this is, you know, you play a lot year round. You kind of have some good nights, good nights, good nights. And then every once in a while, pop. You have a great night. So really, really, really happy for him. Really proud. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. So shout out to DFS Spectre for that big win. If you see him on the Twitter sphere, give him the old cheers. Congratulations. He deserves it. We have a nice Thursday night slate here. It is a I have to count. I'm bad at counting. Six game slate. Going into tonight after a nice slate last night. It should be a similar one, you know. Kind of concentrate your focus on some of these mid-range guys, getting those guys right and building around a few stud pieces and going from there. And you'll know early in the night whether or not you're cashing. That was the beauty of last night. It was like, okay, well, this is going okay, or this is going poorly. Like, this lineup is working or that lineup is not, right? So should be a fun one. I like this slate. There's some interesting spots, but we do have some news we got to wait for. We also have some back-to-backs that we got to consider. So let's go game by game. First, we'll talk through the injuries. We'll talk through Vegas. Then we'll get into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. All right. So, of course, I'm on the Fantasy 5x5 Vegas and DVP Boost page. Taking a look at 76ers versus the Magic. 76ers coming off the back-to-back where they demolished the Memphis Grizzlies last night. 212 total here. They are favored by 8 on the road. 76ers are currently a playoff team, and it certainly seems like they're going to stay that way so long as they are capable of staying healthy. They've got the depth. Very interesting. You know, that they are playing so well right now. So very, very excited for them. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to like on the 76ers side. You do worry about blowout. I mean, you have to. They were up by 30 at one point against Memphis last night. And you know, as a result, Ben Simmons plays 24 minutes. J.J. Redick plays 17. I mean, you're talking about barely playing three quarters, you know. So it's tilting for sure to know that could happen again. But I mean, even in that time, you know, in that very short amount of time, Joel Embiid, 19 minutes he plays, and he goes for 33 in just 19 minutes. That's bananas. So if Orlando is able to put up a fight at all, then you should be able to get some really good production out of these guys. Now, Orlando is banged up, to say the least. We are going to see no Jonathan Isaac, who had been playing a lot of minutes and actually done a lot of scoring. No Jonathan Isaac. He's got a foot thing. No Jonathan Simmons with a wrist. And so you're going to probably see a whole lot of DJ Augustine. Of course, Evan Fournier is still out. Whole lot of DJ Augustine, some Mario Hezonja at the three. Aaron Gordon at the four. He's back. He played 34 minutes the other night in Toronto. And of course, you know, Vooch at center. So should be a pretty tight rotation. My guess is that at the two, you're going to get a combination of Shelvin Mack and Aaron Aflalo. That seemed to be what they did, you know, the other day. who do you like here? I don't know. I mean, if you want to use some of these guys for value, Augustine is reliable as far as minutes goes. Hezonja will probably have to play north of 28 minutes. He'll probably split some of that time with Wesu Wundu, who has been getting 20 regularly. My guess is that they'll go 28-20. You know, you don't get excited about the Magic. There's no reason to get excited about the Magic, but there is a concentration of usage against the 76ers. But that's a good defense. You know, you don't necessarily want to go there. Yes, 76ers, maybe to Magic if they fit your value, but definitely not in cash games. Memphis at Charlotte, no total in this one just yet. Of course, we had Tyreke Evans ruled out yesterday for rest purposes. of course, that makes total sense. You know, he is not going to play, but I we'll see if he's going to play Thursday. Marc Gasol played last night and got demolished. I don't know if he's going to play tonight, or I don't know if they're going to do like a flip-flop thing. I'm not completely sure. I'm not really going to be interested in playing any of them. I mean, I guess if Marc Gasol sits, you could talk me into Tyreke Evans here, against Charlotte. You know, Charlotte's on the back-to-back as well. We saw Andrew Harrison start at point guard, but he didn't play very much. You saw Mario Chalmers play some. The rotation is a pain in the ass. Dylan Brooks didn't play. He should play tonight. Decent matchup on the wing for him. He's been cheap. You know, I don't know. What do you do with this? You know, it's a tough rotation to predict and project. I think you just have to be careful. And if you really need the value, that's fine, but not interested. Charlotte side of things, of course, Dwight goes for 30 and 30. Unbelievable line. Very impressive night from Howard. Ridiculous. I mean, that's just obscene. The rebound, you know, that goes in the record books. And still, I mean, you know, those are the kinds of little things that we point to when we talk about, is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer? You have to think about it. So he's absolutely interesting, you know. In this situation, Kemba has been very consistent. Nick Batum is going to probably be out, probably going to see Cody Zeller out as well. So, you know, my guess is that Jeremy Lamb gets some good run here. He continues to be a value that we're interested in. You know, you want to go to guys like MKG and Marvin Williams, where they're not really playing more than 22, 23 minutes at a time. Dwayne Bacon played 28 minutes last night. I'm not really sure why. I don't know. Like, I don't know why Charlotte puts their starters in, rides them all the way through, and tries to beat Brooklyn. Like, you need losses. You're not going to make the, like, what's the point? But they did anyway, because who cares? Lakers at the Pels. So this one is really, really, really interesting because of the rest situation. And by rest situation, I mean the fucking Pelicans have played, I believe, since Saturday, they have played four games. They had a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. They had Monday off. They played Tuesday. They played Wednesday. They will play Thursday. So they have had... They will have had five games in 6 days. That's insane. That's insanity, and they have a terrible schedule upcoming. I'll talk about it in the breakdown of Anthony Davis. It is absolutely it's a difficult to like them in this situation just based on that brutal split. The Lakers, meanwhile, haven't played since Sunday. They have 3 days off. So you have a situation, or Monday, excuse me, you have a situation where you have a team that is, you know, no legs versus a team that has absolutely fresh legs. Now, the one thing that the Pels have going for them is they haven't traveled. They haven't moved. They've been at home every night, which is nice. You know, you have your own facility, your own bed. That helps the recovery. You don't have to get on a plane. You go straight home, straight to bed. You sleep in, you know, that kind of thing. So, but man, it must just take them hours to get warmed up in the morning. I like the Lakers side of this, but of course you can't ignore Anthony Davis. You can't ignore The production that, you know, guys like Etuan Moore have brought in the last couple of days. Holiday quiet last night, but that makes good sense. They've been very good on the wing, Pacers have. I think this could be another good spot for him. We've seen this game before, and it is a lot of fantasy value. So concentrate on it. Don't be too scared of the Pelicans. I think this is what strategically, if I don't know if Gentry thinks this way, but here's the deal. The Pels have won two. They're in the playoffs now. They're securing a playoff spot. This could be another good win for them, right? At home. They have a nice home game here. They have a beatable opponent, an opponent that they've beat before, and then they have a day off. Next week, their schedule is rough. And I have to think that they are going to try and lock down one more win because they could lose three next week. They have Blazers, Thunder, and Rockets. And then they have the Warriors down the stretch at one point. So there is a road to, like, oh, shit, they string together a couple losses. So you may want to stack up the wins while you can against some opponents that are a little bit more of a cupcake. Lakers continue to be injured. You know, we're going to see the same tight rotation that we have. No Brandon Ingram, no Josh Hart. So Lonzo for 35 plus minutes. Isaiah for 25 minutes. Plenty of Kyle Kuzma. Plenty of Julius Randle, and plenty of Brook Lopez. And those guys all played very well against the Pelicans previously. So all of them in play, all of the Lakers starters are interesting to me. KCP as well, no doubt. So all the Lakers starters are interesting in this situation. Detroit at Houston. No total here just yet because Chris Paul is questionable with a hamstring. That's the biggest news out of this game. Detroit's point guard rotation, by the way, Reggie Jackson is back for 15 minutes. Who cares? You can't play any of these guards on Detroit. They're a mess. If you're playing anybody, it's the front court. But I don't really like this Detroit team here. I think they could get absolutely demolished by the Rockets, no doubt. So there's some guys I like here. I love James Harden in this situation. I don't mind Trevor Ariza or PJ Tucker, Clint Capella. I don't mind all these guys. I like the Rockets here. At home, should be a good spot for them. Jazz at the Mavericks. This one is a 198 total. Jazz are favored by 8 on the road. You know, coming off that rough loss to Atlanta, you have to think that they come back strong. Derek Favors will not rest. He will be back in the lineup, so the rotation is back to normal. You don't have to think about Jonas Jerebko here. The Mavericks, however, very, very banged up in this situation. They are struggling with some injuries. So Kyle Collinsworth was playing quite a bit at the two. He did like a hyperextension. So he will probably not play, my guess, tonight. Dennis Smith Jr. is still out. Yogi Ferrell and J.J. Barea will split the one and the two kind of as swing guards with Dorian Finney-Smith there as well. Harrison Barnes over 30 minutes for him. You can easily expect over 30 minutes for Doug McDermott also. Against the Jazz, do you want any of these pieces? Not particularly. You know, that's the thing is how much of this do you want versus the Jazz? I don't see a lot that I really like on the Dallas side of things. I think you could go to some of the guards here. J.J. Barea probably, just as a crafty veteran, provides a high floor. Yogi Ferrell with the minutes will probably provide a high floor, especially if Collinsworth is out. The 20 minutes that Collinsworth has probably add 5 minutes or so to Dorian Finney-Smith, JJ, and Yogi Ferrell. Like, somebody's going to have to play over 30 minutes. So, value only, value resources only, no locks there. Atlanta at Sacramento, the only West Coast game of the night. This one is a 212 total, and Sacramento is favored by 2. I actually really like this game. One of the higher totals, not a lot of, like, weird things to consider, not like Memphis Charlotte, like, yikes, bad. 76ers Magic could be lopsided. What happens with the Pelicans in the third day? How can the Pistons even keep up with the Rockets? That kind of stuff, right? All these kinds of weird questions. This game, like, I feel like I know these two teams. They've been tanking since the beginning of the year. And we know what the rotations look like. We know who's healthy. We know who's not. We know who's going to play and who's going to get the usage. It's all there, man. So I like this game a lot. John Collins out for the Hawks in this situation. Of course, Dennis Schroeder blew up, took 28 shots in Utah, was absolutely on fire, and had 41 real-life points. Craziness. That's the first time we've ever really seen him do that. So good for him. Torian Prince is going to play a ton. I don't mind him here. He shot really poorly in Utah, but I have no problem going back to him. Mike Muscala is playing a ton as well. He is interesting. Dwayne Dedman, 20 minutes for him. So these guys are all, like, in play, man. I mean, you know what this rotation is going to look like. You know who's capable. You know their prices. It all works for me on the Atlanta side of things. In Sacramento, similarly, you know, similar production from them. You know you're going to get the minutes from De'Aaron Fox. You know you're going to get decent minutes from probably Bogdan and Buddy Hield. 28-32, you know, you kind of couch that, you know, that ceiling of minutes with expectations that, you know, there's not going to be a ton there for them. Willie Cauley-Stein, he's back up above 30 minutes, and he's a guy that I'm interested in against Atlanta, especially coming off of rest. These guys haven't played since Sunday, so they are interesting. Zach Randolph sits. That would be a really nice spot for Scalabissier as kind of a nice value. And Garrett Temple is out. So that's going to free up some good minutes for Bogdan and Buddy Hield to be clear to go. One guy also to consider, Justin Jackson. He's playing like 30 minutes, and with Garrett Temple out, you're not going to have anybody else at the three that they need to necessarily worry about. So Justin Jackson should be on the wing playing quite a bit. So I like this game. I think this game is projectable. It's evenly matched between two terrible teams, and the pricing is not that bad on some of these guys. So I'm going to want exposure to that one, strangely enough. But that's, you know, hey, that's DFS. I'm not going to watch that shit. No, what, are you kidding me? I'm going to stay up till. You know, 10 o'clock Eastern time to watch Hawks Kings? Yikes. But I like the game for DFS purposes. All right, let's go ahead into the player breakdown and get specific and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, starting at the top of the slate, of course. We got to look at Chris Paul here. You know, if he... We know, I mean, he's questionable, right? Hamstring. And, there's a very good chance that he doesn't play. But let's say he goes. Let's say it's not a big deal. He, you know, is at shoot around and he's immediately upgraded to probable because it's nothing serious, right? Let's talk about it in that context, right? He's 8,500, 81 on DK. That's a really nice price. Very reasonable price in what is, I really think, of a very plus matchup. Detroit's defense just not that good. Three straight games, he's been over 40, over 30 minutes, consistently over 20 points, multiple rebounds, assists, and in at least a steal every single game. I mean, the numbers have just been so consistent, somewhere, you know, close to 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Just doing Chris Paul things. Three of the last 10 against Detroit have been big games to the point guard position. So this is a plus spot. I mean, it's funny. You look at the splits, or excuse me, you look at the history against of point guards against the Pistons, and you see some duds, right? You see a couple players. And you look at who it is. You have some terrible names. And then you see who it is that actually scored. Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Jamal Murray. What do those guys have in common? They're good, first of all, okay? So Chris Paul falls into the good bucket. They actually also shoot the three. So you have an exterior threat, and those guys had smash games. I mean, we're talking over 45 points, each of them, easy. And Damon Lowry both had 55. Murray had like 47. I think Chris Paul is interesting here, especially, you know, you're going to get that second unit run against Ish Smith, Reggie Jackson, whatever the case may be. I think he's interesting. I think he probably goes slightly under own. The issue that you have is the potential blowout. So let's wait and see what the line says. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Rockets by 8, 9, maybe not 10, but at least 8. Yeah. I mean, and it just, that's the reality. That's how good they are. It's just disrespectful. Shooting guard. Obviously, we got to look at James Harden. You know, Harden is in a in the same matchup. And I think the interesting thing is we have to understand he plays the point guard, you know, for the most part. So this the split at the point guard and the shooting guard applies to him here as well. He's 11-8 on FanDuel, 11-6 on DK. Of course, we've seen he's been averaging over 50.5 fantasy points per minute, massive usage above 34, nearly 34% lately here. So, you know, no reason not to like James Harden. If Chris Paul sits, he becomes the Uber chalk. Him and Eric Gordon become the Uber chalk. We could very well be staring at a slate where nearly 100% of everybody's lineups are just James Harden and Eric Gordon. And that's fine. That makes good sense. I mean, I have no issue with that. I think that is a good way to build your lineups. It's going to be very, very easy to get good value out of those guys, especially if Chris Paul is out. So, Harden, the numbers are there. The matchup is there. No problem. I mean, you think about this. There's no one who's going to be able to guard him. Just not true. They can't do it. He's at home. It's all there. Nothing at small forward that I'm that interested in. At power forward, of course, though, we have Anthony Davis versus the Lakers. This is his third game in the row. There's almost zero way to research that because he doesn't have a bad split in back-to-backs, and he played really well last night. He's 12-5 on FanDuel, 11-7 on DK. The numbers have been absolutely bananas. Of course, you know, he's been doing the 70 burgers. In last night, he went for 60 on the nose. So a perfect 5X on that 12K salary. Against the Lakers, he's had over 70. In his most recent game, he had 74. I don't know how to account for the schedule. He played 35 minutes last night, and this is like the third straight game that he's played like 30 plus minutes. He had 28, and even on the 30 minute, like that was his best fantasy performance. In a low scoring game, he had 28-13 with five blocks. He's averaging like three blocks a game. Just fucking insane. He's, you know, so you can say as much as you want about the rest. If we get any sort of allusion to like he's sitting out, then obviously, okay, that changes things. But like, you know, the old Anthony Davis is made of glass, like joke. No, don't give me that. Like, the dude is playing serious minutes. Who cares if he leaves the game to go get checked out by a trainer? His trainer's probably paranoid as shit. Do everything you can to keep this man healthy, right? Like, paranoid. So, no problem with Anthony Davis in this situation. I think he probably gets lower ownership because of the three-game stretch. Especially in a situation when you know, maybe we have Chris Paul out. Anthony Davis is going to probably be the lowest owned high priced player on the slate, which really there's only two. But the other one, though, is Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben Simmons, like he deserves our attention. The fantasy points per minute have been absolutely bananas for Ben Simmons here of late. So, you know, there's zero reason to think that a night with Orlando doesn't, continue to yield like 45 plus points. He's been well over 1.2 fantasy points per minute. He's now 10-4 and 9-1 on DK. 9-1, I'm good with. 10-4, a little bit much. The problem that you deal with is blowout, okay? Because last night we saw what happened. They destroyed Memphis, and he only goes for 37 fantasy points. Orlando's terrible. And there's a good chance that they blow them out here as well. Now, are they as bad as Memphis? I don't know if they are, and they've played this team before. They just have more competent veterans. So I think you get at least three quarters. I think you get at least 30, 32 minutes out of Ben Simmons here. Do you get 37 hardcore minutes of him where he's, you know, consistently pushing the pace? I don't think so, but you will get the peripherals. He's been a double-digit assists in four of the last five, double-digit rebounds in three of the last five. Okay, so we know what we're going to get from Ben Simmons in this situation. you're going to get that triple-double type line, and I have no problem with going to point guards against the Magic. It's not quite as good as when Elf was there, but, you know, it's good. They've been giving up a couple big games in the last 10. It's an above average split. Everything against the Magic is above average. So Yeah, no problem with Ben Simmons in this spot. Obviously, the center position, you got to look at JoJo versus Orlando. You know, he's played this team twice. He's never had to play more than 29 minutes, and he had 38 and then 49. He had 49 fantasy points in 29 minutes in one of these games. That's what we're dealing with, guys. Like, there is a potential where the 76ers are basically up by 10 for the entire first half. And then who plays in the second half? A lot of Ersan Ilyasova. You try to limit JoJo on the back, you get him 28 minutes. And, you know, so he only played 28 last night. Of course, if this is actually competitive, Joe and Ben Simmons are going to score 50. And that's just a fact. Like, when they have to play competitive games, these guys are going to play a lot and they're going to score a lot because they're really, really talented guys. Embiid is correlated. His production is just correlated with how long he's on the floor. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that for Joel Embiid. And, you know, obviously that's not rocket science. There's a lot of people who are, you know, correlated with, you know, how much they're on the floor. But if you see him, you know, if, for example, in the last four of the last five, he's been over 30 minutes, boom, over 50 in all of those games. So if he plays, he's going to score. If he plays, he's going to have the usage, all that good stuff. So you have to get after him in that situation. If he's going to play the minutes, is he going to play the minutes? I'm not completely sure. I do think of Orlando as a more competent team. And you look at some of the teams that they've played where he's had to play those 30 minutes, you know, Indiana, New York, Brooklyn, Charlotte, like those last three, the Knicks, the Nets, and the Hornets, they didn't blow them out. So maybe there's a good argument to be made that the Magic stay in this for a little bit longer than the 76ers feel comfortable. In the grout tier, 9K and below, of course, we're going to have to look at some point guards here. And the first guy that comes to mind is Lonzo Ball. And Lonzo should be one of the chalkier players on the slate. Of course, I love him. I love him in this spot. I have no problem going to Lonzo at 7,100, 76 on DK's FanDuel. That's a lock. Like, that's a lock. That price is too cheap. He has been only averaging like 31 fantasy points in the last five. He slowed down a little bit. Of course, it's always correlated with his scoring. We need the scoring, but he's got really fresh legs. We've seen him be really productive, and we know this split against New Orleans is a really good one. They have allowed some massive games to the point guard. The most big games of any team in the last 40. So it's according to Fantasy 5x5's best spots. We're looking at one of the best spots for the point guard here. Darren Collison struggled last night, kind of killed a lot of my lineups. But I think Lonzo here with fresh legs should be able to do at least what he did last time, which is nail 35 fantasy points on the nose. De'Aaron Fox versus Atlanta. He is interesting to me as well as Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder's salary jumps $900 because of one game against the Jazz. Fine. Okay. But that's about right for what we expect from Schroeder. He should play 30 minutes. He should be getting all the usage. We know he's a 30% usage guy. So you're looking at a guy in this spot that maybe he gets, 35 fantasy points. I don't think I like him as much as I like De'Aaron Fox, who never goes above 5,700. At 5,700, it's a really nice spot for him. You just need over 25 fantasy points, and we see him now with fresh legs against an Atlanta team that has allowed a lot of big games to the point guard position. So in plus spots, plus matchups for De'Aaron Fox, you get good production. You do. I mean, 29 against Orlando, or excuse me, 29 against Denver, 34 against Brooklyn, right? 26 against Dallas. So 29 against Dallas in a previous matchup there, 28 against New Orleans. Looking back through these, what do those guys have in common? Those are, plus point guard matchups. So in those plus point guard matchups, you get over 25 fantasy points from De'Aaron Fox. That's all you need. It's a nice cash game type floor play. So he is absolutely there. I mentioned JJ Barea. His price is down because of the matchup with Utah. 5,600 is a reasonable price tag for him. I think he could return value for you too. I have no problem going there. Moving over to the shooting guard position, obviously Donovan Mitchell and Drew Holiday are very interesting here. Let's start with Drew. He struggled mightily last night. really struggled. I don't know if it was the illness or whatever the case may be, but you have a game for him, a matchup with KCP that hasn't exactly been great. He only played 28 minutes, by the way, last night. He clearly something was bothering him. Drew, in this situation, hopefully he feels better. Hopefully he bounces back. He had 55 in this game last time out against the Lakers. That's not a joke. I mean, that is a serious number. In the game before that, early in the season, he had 37, and that was with Boogie and AD on the floor. So Drew Holiday is a guy, so long as he feels healthy. I mean, he got an IV at halftime. I didn't see this note. I'm just seeing it now in 5x5. He had an IV at halftime. So clearly he did not feel well in that game versus Indiana. But the numbers are there, man. So long as he plays. If he doesn't play, then yikes. You know, we have some value opening up there. But 42 fantasy points over the last five games at 1.2, nearly 1.2 fantasy points per minute. We know this guy has a 50-point ceiling. And listen, the cheapest way to get to 50 points, it's something I tell myself. Last night it was LaMarcus Aldridge. He did it. Right? The cheapest way to get 50 points, Drew Holiday's that guy today, the cheapest way to get to 50 points. Donovan Mitchell at 8-1. I just think that the Jazz come out here and actually they really try to dominate this game. Like that loss to Atlanta that's embarrassing, right? So Donnie Mitch, the floor has been very, very clear. He has not dropped below 30 fantasy points in the last five. And in fact, he's been over 35 in four of the last five. He's averaging 36 over the last five games. He's at a fantasy point per minute. He's playing plenty. Quinn Snyder has no problem playing him a ton. And because he's got fresh legs, he had 43 out here last time against the Mavs, and especially against a guy like Yogi Ferrell. No serious wing defense for them. I think that this is a good spot. On paper, you know, shooting guard versus Dallas is pretty average, below average. It's not really an exciting spot. You know, it's not necessarily like, the Lakers or anything like that. I don't know. That doesn't really bother me with Donovan Mitchell. Like, I think he won't pop necessarily in a lot of models, and I don't love his price, but I think he's an interesting way to be different on a slate where 8,100 might be a little bit too high to pay, especially when people are going to be eyeing James Harden at that position and Drew Holiday for that matter. That's kind of where I'm at with shooting guard. Of course, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will probably play like 76 minutes tonight, just because that's what he does. His price is way down. I think you feel comfortable playing him against New Orleans on the wing. You feel extra comfortable playing KCP if for some reason Drew Holiday is out. That's a big deal. Like, you saw what he was capable of doing to Victor Oladipo. They're capable of slowing him down at least for a half. KCP's floor has been about 20 points just because of the minutes. He shot poorly in a couple of these last games. You know, he really has. And he hasn't taken a lot of shots. When he shoots poorly, he doesn't take a lot of shots. But if he starts to play well, shoot well, you could see a nice game from him here. He had 28 across 32 minutes last time out against this team. He's below a fantasy point per minute, but the floor is very clear with him because of the minutes. He's got fresh legs. You got to like that. There's a lot of guys that I would... I guess what I would say, I feel very comfortable with KCP. I don't worry about KCP's return. I think you feel good with what he's capable of returning for you. At the small forward position, it's pretty thin, but I got to talk about Taurean Prince because we're attacking the wings here against Sacramento. Earlier in the year, it was not necessarily a great matchup. Sacramento has the best matchup on the opposite side of the slate, by the way. Justin Jackson definitely in play. We'll talk about him during the value. But this is a moderately plus matchup for Taurean Prince, who is just his usage has been ridiculous of late, through the roof. And he's actually producing. In the last five, he's had four games over 40. And against some mediocre and bad teams, well, Sacramento qualifies as mediocre and bad. So I have no problem going to Torian Prince in this spot. He's averaged 43 over the last five with 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He's just 7,500 on FanDuel, and he is 72 on DK. I think he's going to probably be a pretty popular play because small forward is kind of thin. I have no problem with that. I trust him a little bit more right now than a guy like Bob Covington. I trust him a little bit more than a guy like Joe Ingles against Dallas or Harry Barnes against Utah, who's Harrison Barnes just comes and goes. You don't know when he's going to show up. So Torian Prince at 7,500, I think you could definitely go there. He's going to contribute. He's going to play almost 40 minutes. I mean, the minutes have just been insane. And 33-minute floor right now. And absolutely an interesting guy that you should think about getting into your lineups. Power forward, I really like your boy Kuz Monster and Julius Randle. Like, the only reason that I might not play both of them, and I might play both of them if I have Harden lineups, I might play both of them. Randall's 7,500, Kuz is 62. The only reason I might not play both of them is because I also like Dario Saric at 5,900 versus Orlando. I think that price is excellent. And I don't mind Nico, even though he's been just a ghost lately. So let's talk about Randall and Kuz. They just have been so consistent. Over 32 minutes in every single game, and really productive in that split. Specifically, Kyle Kuzma here, he has a much wider range of outcomes. I think you get a little bit more of a concentrated, projectable range with Julius Randle. But Kuzma, when he pops, he pops. He's got a 40-point ceiling. So you're getting a much higher ceiling with Kuzma from a point-per-dollar perspective than you are with Randle just because of the salary drop. Kuzma had 31 fantasy points across 26 minutes against the Pels, 1.1 fantasy points per minute in his last time out. Now, he's been averaging 0.8 fantasy points per minute, and that's because the range is really, really off. It's anywhere between 1.2 fantasy points per minute all the way down to 0.6 fantasy points per minute. So he can go quiet, but he can also, really, really explode and do quite a bit of scoring. With fresh legs like this, I think you have to necessarily be interested in him coming off a lot of rest. I think that is an interesting guy to look at. Now, Randle, of course, would be more appealing. If you can find a way to get to Randle, I have no problem with him. The floor is 35 fantasy points, and that's, 5X for him at 7,500. The ceiling, we saw it in the Cavs game. That's a once a season type thing, right? That's like the Dennis Schroeder 55 pointer. It's not going to happen again, but he did go out against the Pelicans and have a nice game of fantasy point per minute in that situation. I think you very comfortably say he's going to hit his averages here. He has been a well above 1.2 fantasy points per minute at 1.24, and above a fantasy point per minute in every single contest, in the last five. So the consistency, like I mentioned with Randle, is what you're getting. If you can find a way to pay up for him, you're getting that consistency. And I think that may make it worth your while, no doubt about it. So Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma, very interesting to me. But of course, I don't want to ignore my boy Dario Saric, who is just 5,900, which is just seems too cheap for a guy who, has he been phenomenal of late? No, but we know that the floor is like very, very clear here. It's a 20-point floor type situation. He had 24 last time out against the Magic in just 25 minutes. He's a fantasy point per minute type guy. He's cheap. He's reliable. You're going to probably get a 10-10 type line, 15-8 type line, 15-5. That's kind of been more in line with his averages. I like the matchup. I like the price, really, is what I like. I like the price. I think there's a reliable return from Dario Saric at 5,900. You're asking him for over 29. It's like the De'Aaron Fox of power forward. You're asking him for over 25. Yeah, that's not hard for Dario Saric. I mean, he's been over 25 and just two of the last five, but the other two were 22 and 21. So you don't really feel bad about about that split. He's averaged 27 on the year. I think that that's a fair price to pay for Dario Saric. And we've paid a lot more for him before, and because we know he has a ceiling. He has a very capable ceiling there. So Dario, definitely a guy that I would feel comfortable going to. At the center position, it's kind of all Willie Cauley-Stein for me. You have the rest split, which is a plus four fantasy point boost for him. He played 30 minutes against Detroit. He did not play phenomenally well, but he didn't really rebound that well. And he's had some tough matchups of late, right? Gobert and then Drummond. So his rebound numbers have been pretty quiet. But you get a great spot here against Atlanta, plus matchup for the center. He has been flirting with a fantasy point per minute at 0.92. Okay, as long as he gets the 30 minutes and he gets me over a fantasy point per minute against Atlanta, I think that this is a really, really, really nice matchup for Willie Cauley-Stein, who we know has a ceiling. I mean, he's shown us 40-point outings here before. At his price, you really would be pleased with a big game from Willie Cauley-Stein, because he's 6,900. He's 58 on DK. That's just too cheap. You know, it's just too cheap. So definitely interesting to go to him, and go to the opposite side of the ball too. And there's two guys there that I think you could talk me into, Dwayne Dedman, and then of course Mike Muscala below him. Muscala playing about 25 minutes per game, and he's been kind of okay actually. Dwayne Dedman played really, really well against Utah, and now he's got an even better matchup in Sacramento. So we know he's a capable rebounder. He's, you know, a decent scorer. If he gets a good matchup and a decent run, he should provide a floor of about 20 fantasy points. He's had a couple duds in the last five, but for the most part, he's going to get you 20 fantasy points in about 20, you know, a floor of 20 fantasy points in about 26 minutes of play. And you hope that the matchup with Sacramento, which is literally these two are the best matchups, they're facing off against each other. They're the best matchups on the board. The matchup for Dedman is better than the matchup for Cauley-Stein. And I still think that people are cautious about Dedman, cautiously optimistic about Dedman. They don't really love to play him. So I would like to go there for a little bit of ownership leverage at the end of the night. I think that's a good spot. All right, let's look at the bargain basement here. Let's see if we can find some value at the point guard position, 5,500 and below. JJ Barea, definitely in play. Isaiah Thomas, definitely in play. 5,600 for both of those guys. You're going to get decent minutes. I think there's a very clear floor. This range for point guard is pretty easy to fill in, right? Anywhere between 5 and 6K is pretty good. Yogi Ferrell at 5,100, even though it's Utah, you know he's going to play 30 minutes. It's up to kind of your process personally, whether or not you feel good about that. DJ Augustine is reasonably priced. You should see good minutes for Shelvin Mack as well. 3,900, I think he is absolutely a play that people will gravitate towards at the two, especially with no John Simmons. He's been good in the last two, 30 and 28 in the last two without John Simmons on the floor with that wrist injury. At the shooting guard position, I mentioned KCP at 5,500, but then you go below that. Bogdan is really interesting. I mean, Bogdan Bogdanovic is absolutely going to be in play if he plays. You know, Buddy Hield is 7K, and he's 7K because he's had a couple really, really big games here. Do you want to pay 7K for Buddy Hield? Like, he's so scoring dependent. We've seen him score 9 points in 29 minutes against some bad teams. Like, I don't know if I'm going to pay 7K for Buddy Hield, even though he's trending. I think I'll wait, right? Bogdan, similar minutes. No Garrett Temple. He struggled lately, but at 4,800, I think I'd be more comfortable playing him. Just from a point per dollar perspective, I guess maybe the ceiling isn't there. But the guy that I like the most here is a guy that I continue to talk about. You guys know this. Eric Gordon, man. 4,700 for Eric Gordon. Too cheap. Did he play as well in that Portland game as you wanted him to? not from an outcome perspective, but the man had 18 real life points across 33 minutes and he's only 4,700. Like, capable scorer, okay? Capable scorer. If he had gotten some assists or maybe a steal or something, you would have started to see his salary creep up. But, like, this is a great matchup for Detroit against the wing, especially if Chris Paul is hobbled or not playing. You're going to have a lot of Eric Gordon exposure here. I have no problem going to Eric Gordon. And J.J. Redick, too. Like, it's 4,700 for J.J. Redick is just too cheap. We know what the ceiling is. 30, 40 fantasy, 30 plus. Orlando is terrible against the wing. He had a fantasy point per minute against this team last time out. So J.J. could be in play. Not my favorite, but he could be. In play at small forward. I mentioned this name just a second ago, but, Justin Jackson has a nice matchup on the wing with Atlanta. And, you know, he hasn't really been phenomenal, but the price, you're not paying a lot for him. He's 3,800. He's an interesting tournament play at the end of the night. He doesn't really have a ceiling. I mean, he has a ceiling sort of, he's shown a couple times that he's capable scorer. But for 3,800, you really don't need that much for him. So he's kind of a low-risk proposition, Jackson is, at that salary. Mario Hezonja is going to play a lot. He's going to play 28 minutes. Okay. Dylan Brooks is going to play probably 28 minutes. Good matchup against Charlotte. One of the best on the wing there. We saw, you know, Damari Carroll returned a nice game. He didn't shoot well, but he returned a nice game last night. Decent game. Trevor Ariza is the other one. At 4,800, that's just too cheap for Trevor Ariza. He falls into the same bucket as Eric Gordon as me. You know, like 30 minutes, capable scorer. The floor is there. I don't get scared off of playing these Rocket shooters. I really don't. I just, they can all shoot and they get the opportunity because that offense is so effective. At the power forward position, Nico is 55. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, he's been... I want to love him here. Like here's what I'll say. I don't want to miss the 40 burger because you know, he has one and this could be the one, right? This could be the one. And right before, the All-Star break, he went out there against the Lakers and put up 37 fantasy points in 29 minutes. He's got this in his tank, man. And at 5,500, you're just asking for it. Like, you're going to have to look at him. Scal Labissiere as well. Zach Randolph sits 5,300 for Scal. Not phenomenal return, but, you know, again, a guy who's going to probably get you somewhere over 25 fantasy points for the minutes that he's going to get. Other than that, I mean, Jarrell Martin, maybe. Cheick Diallo has actually been playing a lot. I have no problem with Cheick Diallo. He's been like a 10-10 guy. He had 9-10 last night, 10-14, 17-6. Ryan always mentions him. He's always like, I think Cheick Diallo's in play. Like, nobody talks about it, but I think Cheick Diallo's in play. I think he is. Like, he's getting the run, and they need him on the back-to-back. You know, they need 23 minutes of Cheick Diallo here to just defense and rebounding, and that's what he does. So you get 10 rebounds at Cheick Diallo at 3,900. You're not that mad about that. You know, don't put thousands of dollars on Cheick Diallo lineups, but why not? At the center, if Brolo doesn't play, if he's got a back, is it going to be Zubac? Like, if it's Zubac, by the way, you have to play 100% Anthony Davis. Like, you can't not play some Anthony Davis versus Ivica Zubac. So we'll see. You got to keep an eye on that news there. Costa Koufos will probably play 18 minutes. He's not a terrible option against a bad Atlanta front court. You know, not a great Atlanta front court, but it really the one that you want to get interested in is probably Mike Muscala. You know, Muscala is 4,500. He's been playing almost 30 minutes a game, kind of at the four with no John Collins out there. And you have a good matchup here against Sacramento. Like, he doesn't have to do much to return value at that price. So he is a guy that I could get into for sure. All right, let's go ahead and let's try to put some of these ideas together, build a lineup. I'm going to go on the assumption that Chris Paul does play, which I think is enough for me to say I'm okay going away from Harden, though that I have a hard time with it. So let's see if I can get an Anthony Davis lineup in here. Let's go Anthony Davis. I'm going to spend down at small forward to try and account for that. I'm going to spend down at center as well. Let me go to Dedmon here, and then maybe I can even go down to Muscala if I need to. Power forward two, I'm going to go to... You need the value. Well, let me see if I can get some value at small forward first. Justin Jackson, interesting, right? I don't know if I'll stick with him, but interesting price. Trevor Ariza, 4,800. Let's see where that gets us to start. At shooting guard, but let's go to point guard first, actually. I need Lonzo. You have to have Lonzo, I think, on this slate. I think I can comfortably get one of these. One of these other guys here. Actually, Shelvin Mack is interesting at 3,900. I didn't realize he was that cheap. So there we have 7,300 left for a power forward and two shooting guards. I think I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Julius Randle, and then I'm going to go with, I have 7,300. I like, let's say Eric, I can go Drew Holiday and KCP. So kind of a nice little LA New Orleans game stack. I don't know if this is going to stay. This is a thrown together thing, but I do like it. Lonzo, Shelvin Mack, KCP, Drew Holiday, Justin Jackson, Trevor Ariza, Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, Dwayne Dedmon. Yeah, I mean, this is interesting, and you, there's a lot of ways that you can manipulate this too, but you know, there's definitely appeal to kind of almost a stars and scrubs type approach tonight, just based on what you're seeing from some of these. And this could easily become a not Anthony Davis, but a James Harden lineup. And so I go James Harden, Drew Holiday, and then I have Kyle Kuzma. Oh my God, wow, I just got an erection. Lonzo, Shelvin Mack, James Harden, Drew Holiday, Justin Jackson, Trevor Ariza, Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle, Dwayne Dedmon. I'll click save right there. Save. Yeah, that's fun. That's kind of fun. I like that one a lot. So, hey, guys, good luck in your contest. Later this morning, I'm going to be recording an interview with the Fan-Controlled Football League chairman, Ray Austin. Former NFL player, former XFL player, Ray Austin. Should be really interesting. We're going to talk about Fan-Controlled Football League and its future coming up in the coming years here. A new form of fantasy football and fan-centered football. So check that out. It should be in your podcast feed there shortly. Thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.